Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
So I wonder how many people have a near-death experience. That's probably not many people, is it? Probably not very many. Maybe as we get towards the end of our life, I don't know. Maybe they bring you back. But we hear more and more about these, and I've been reading some different books about it. I'm intrigued by all things. I always keep an open mind to all possibilities. I think I'm always going to be like that. And I'm always curious, and I'm always going to ask questions. Maybe it's to the point where I get annoying, but that's what I do. So, and what I do like to do is look at all possibilities, because it's so easy to settle on one. So I'm going to talk about near-death experiences, and also, and do you even know someone who had one? You know, there's a lot of books that have been written. I have never had one, but I do have talked to some people that have had them. And what about out-of-body experiences? Is that connected? Are those two things? I'm sure a lot of you obviously, you know, believe they are, that listen to this show. And maybe you never have put the two together. I don't know. Feel free to comment or ask a question. Matter of fact, if you have any questions, I'd love to hear them. You can always do that. Attach something or your input, whatever you feel, or if you want to share something. And again, you don't have to use your real name if you're a little nervous. I think people are initially always afraid to take that first step. We all think we're going to be judged, or somebody is going to give us grief, especially in this day and age. And I have no problem if you want to remain anonymous. But I came to realize nobody really cares. I was afraid to talk about things too. Maybe on the radio it might be different, but as far as my podcast, I have really not been raked over the coals too much over the years. And even if somebody said something, they're only words, and words only have power if you allow them to. And I never come out attacking others, and I also respect pretty much everything. So I don't think I give people a reason to attack what I have to say. If you don't believe it, that's fine. I don't expect you to. If you want to challenge it, I don't have a problem with that. Be respectful and I'll answer you. If you're not, I'll ignore you. But I have no problem if you want to say something. How else do we learn if we don't challenge ourselves? So my experience with near-death experiences, I can't think of anybody offhand other than my friend Tom Angel, who's had an experience. I don't even know how many years it's been. I mean, I've interviewed Tom, I think, at least once for this show, and he's a friend of Frank Vecchino. And Tom told me what happened to him, although he never wrote a book about it. But he was going through some kind of surgery, and something happened, and he died. And he went to, there was an angelic being. He figured it was an angel that brought him to this very beautiful place. And he did not want to leave, and he could, you know, it was just a very incredible, amazing place, could feel the love. And this being, I don't know if I communicated with him. I guess I'd have to go back and listen to that show or talk to Tom. But he eventually was told he was coming back. And when he came back, he saw his body. He described it. The surgeons said, "How did you know that?" Because he was seeing his body as he was getting back in him. And then he realized afterwards that he had these abilities. And Tom said he's noticed that people that have had near-death experiences, and this is his take on it, I would have never known this, he said that they often have heightened awareness, often they have the ability to heal others, and Tom has claimed that he can heal people from many different illnesses. And there was a doctor, if you go back and listen to the podcast and look at even the comments, I believe, and I don't, you'd have to find it on my site, but there's a doctor who corroborated what Tom said, and he has witnessed firsthand. So what happens? Are these things for real? And I have no doubt that we do have these moments where we leave and then we are at a crossroad, and really I think it's our decision to decide whether or not to come back. Now, there have been some books out recently that have presented more of a Christian belief that you see Jesus and God and angels. And I think, you know, then I think there's so many different takes on that. Not everybody sees that. Does that mean, why? Why is that it's so different? And that's what I kind of wanted to get into in this today. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting because I only hear about the Christian ones. And I certainly, not that I doubt those people. I definitely believe they do see Jesus and communicate with God. Why not? But what about people that aren't Christian? What happens to them? And I Googled Hindu, and it was kind of interesting because the Hindus, they believe their near-death experiences, they will go and meet somebody like a family member. Usually it's somebody like that. And instead of being told it's not your time, they're told, oh, it's a mistake. You need to go back. You're not ready yet. So there's a slight difference, variation there. And of course, obviously, they don't see Jesus because I don't know where the Hindus stand on all of that. Obviously, they believe in reincarnation. And there are many different levels. So I don't know that much about Hinduism, but what I read online was interesting. What I thought was the coolest thing that I read online, and maybe this is something, I don't know how you feel about it, but I thought I'd Google what happens to atheists when they have, do they have near-death experiences? And what do they see when they have these experiences? So I Googled, and I found this site that, first of all, said most atheists in some way probably believe in a higher power. They just don't buy into religion, and they have a scientific viewpoint. And there are those that don't believe that there's a God at all. And that's fine. I don't care what you believe. And I don't care if your belief is of a religious group, Christian, whether it's Catholic, whatever. If it makes you a better person and you have love in your heart, good. Because I think that's the message. That's what all of these religions, in my opinion, and all the beliefs have in common. Aren't they trying to teach? I don't know. That's my take on all of it. So what I found out when I Googled the atheists is that, one, they had near-death experiences. Now, you think if you didn't believe in God in another place, that would be it. Whatever we believe kind of becomes a reality. Nope. They would eventually have a connection with some kind of being. And some of them saw this being as being, that's a double thing, this being as being. They saw this entity, this being as perhaps a more enlightened being and maybe the creator. So they were willing to admit, some of them, that perhaps they had that experience. And it even changed. You know, they're so staunch on their way, saying, nope, I'm convinced. There's no God, and they go and have this experience, and some of them came back and had to swallow their pride. Good. What's wrong with swallowing your pride? What's wrong with being humbled? What's wrong with admitting that maybe you're wrong? Nothing. So many of them were changed. Now, the one thing this article said that really caught my eye, because this is what I think is the big difference, and this is where I think we're missing the point on some of this. All of the atheists, according to this article, and I don't know if this article is 100% accurate, all of the atheists had pleasant experiences with their near death. Every one of them. They met someone or something that guided to them a real nice place, and you could feel love and you didn't want to leave. That's pretty much the same story. As far as the Christians are concerned, and I'm not attacking anyone, please know that. I have respect for all beliefs, but the Christians, many of them, experienced a place of torment, hell, if you will. And why would that be? And the only answer I would say, and it's been suggested by many different ones, including, well, Dr. Raymond Moody for one, but also, well, there's been many people that have suggested that whatever it is we believe while we're here is what we're going to experience. So if you have a fear of a dark place, and I'm sure it resides in a lot of people. I used to believe that there could have been a hell at one time. And now I totally believe there isn't. I mean, people may experience that because they really feel, but I just don't believe there is a place you go to because it just doesn't make sense to me. And again, this is just my opinion. It doesn't mean it's right, and you can disagree, and I'm not attacking your beliefs, but I just don't believe an all-loving being would make us go through all that and then send us away. It'd be like taking my child and saying to my son, you know, son, you didn't quite live up to what I expected. Yeah, you did some good things, but yeah, for the most part, sorry, you didn't make the team. You're going to hell. Good luck with that. Deepak Chopra wrote a book about, you know, and that's what I do kind of like, that he expanded on the same thing, that whatever we believe. Well, think about it. We create reality while we're here. We create our own reality. I'm a firm believer in that. Maybe we plan it out a little bit before we come here, but we create. We are creators, and we're always doing that. So when it comes to near-death experiences and even death, we are going to experience what we believe, at least for a while. But then it's like with these atheists. They didn't believe that you go on, and yet they did. They don't believe that there's a hell, so therefore they didn't experience it. And you have the Christians and whoever, whatever other beliefs are out there that will experience these things and say, add, I guess, legitimacy to what they believe. Well, that's because you believe it. You create it. What is the one true way? And from what I can see, is probably represented by the atheists, and I'm not an atheist, but here are people that are non-believers, and they have this experience, and it takes them to a place where there is a being that appears to be very enlightened, if you want to call it God, creator, and they seem to sense this, that this being, and it's this, there's a lot of light with it and a lot of love. And that's been my vision for a long time. Not always. That's been my vision for a long time. And that's been my experience with my own parents who've come back from the other side, that there's just love, pure, unconditional love that waits for us. And many of us have been brought up to believe, well, there's got to be conditions, there's got to be consequences. I still sometimes, you know, think, boy, I sure hope there's some consequences for the way some people behave, you know, and some of the things they do. Without value of human life. But, you know, some people will say karma. What goes around comes around. Yeah, I think there is that. But that, again, is a choice as well. I'm beginning to really understand that everything here is a choice. So if you do some dastardly things, chances are somebody will have an opportunity to do those to you. Now you can forgive that and move on. You know, if somebody's done something to me in this lifetime or previous lifetime, I don't care. I really don't. You don't owe me anything. You really don't. Because that's letting go. I'm willing to let go. What difference does it make? Karma in itself, to me, is a belief that we get caught up on. And we can move past that. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, too. So I found that really fascinating, reading about that. Has anybody else? Have you ever had a near-death or a relative? You know, the thing that I do recall, and I think I talked about this, a relative, family member, and I didn't know this till many years later, my father, who died in 1984, and I got to see him the last day he was alive, and I think he hung on. I really did till I could see him, because it's just weird how that played out. And even when he was in medication, he was on morphine, and twice he popped out of it when I asked him a question. And my mom, who was there at the time, and my half-brother, my mom had stepped out of the room, and my dad turned and looked at me and made, you know, after going blah, 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 he's on morphine. He's out of it. He's not making any sense, which I understand. And I don't expect him to. And he stopped when I asked him a question. He looked right at me and he said, no, I don't want you to go. Please stay. And in a way, I knew he knew he wasn't going to be around the next day. He wanted me to stay as long as I can. But visitation hours were a certain time. And so my mom kept bugging me. She popped her head back in and said, come on, we have to go. And I said, but he just talked to me. And she said, no, he can't. That's impossible. He's on morphine. And my mom's very open. But, you know, we still, all of us get caught up in this, right? Well, that can't be. So she walked out of the room. And I thought, well, maybe you're just imagining. But my half-brother witnessed it as well. I said, did you see that? And he goes, yeah. So we're both walking out again. And I turn around and I say goodbye. And he stops talking again, gibberish. He stops the gibberish and he looks at us and he goes, okay, see ya. And I thought, wow. And I looked at my half-brother and I said, Mike, I think, I have only met him once. And we both again acknowledged that he had done that. And of course, my mom didn't believe any of it, which is fine. She knows better now. She's on the other side. She knows about these things. So my dad came back and visited me in 1996, and of course I've told you about that before. But what's cool about this, my brother, I have to thank my brother for letting me know about what happened years later. And this is when I was living out in Wilson, so I don't, it was 2005 or 4 or 6 or somewhere in there. And my aunt came up to visit, and this story would have been buried with her had she not just shared it with my brother. When she was visiting him, and then they came to my house. Now, the story wasn't told to me while she was there. My brother told me afterwards, but she had brought up, as a matter of fact, while my dad was in the hospital, that, and this was before I arrived. This was like the week before when I finally arrived. And none of the other family was there at that point, so I'm guessing they all saw him before I did. And she had gone there, my Aunt Juanita is the one that this happened to, and my other aunt, and I'm trying to remember her name, but they both, Roberta, they both went there, and they saw him, and he was under, which means he was on morphine or something for the extreme pain, and they weren't able to really communicate with him, and I'm sure they were a bit overwhelmed, like I was when I first saw him. This is not how you think you remember people. And they went outside to get some fresh air because he was going to be out of it for a while before he would, get off the medication a little bit and then he would be able to communicate. And I'm sure you've witnessed that, or if you haven't, that's what happens when you're in that state. And that's the way they used to treat people a lot. Maybe it's not like that as much anymore, but that's the way it was. They gave you morphine. Which certainly is not the best thing for you, but when you're in pain, they just want it to stop. And I don't blame them at that point. So they're outside walking around, and they go back in, and my dad is finally coming off. He's coming down off the morphine. And he says to them, I heard you guys talking about me. And they said, what? We were outside in the courtyard. We were outside talking. He goes, yeah, I heard you. And they said, what do you mean? Since I was sitting on the flagpole, I heard you guys talking about me. And I don't think he was saying that as far as that he was upset that they're talking about him. It's just that I'm confirming that I heard you talking about me. And that's just a cool thing, proving again that we leave our bodies. So is traveling outside of your body a normal thing? I absolutely think it is. Do you remember any out-of-body experiences? I certainly do myself. I have a few of them. And when I was a young boy, I had a lot of things, but it was like the end, like coming back into my body and the whole room was vibrating. I've talked about that. But what I find is that there was an individual, I don't know how I knew this fella, through somebody else, years ago back in the early 90s, I would get together with a few people and we'd talk about these kind of things. There weren't a lot of groups like there are now that you can just, and online, of course, you can find people and whatever the case. So we were like, four people with open minds that were talking about these things, three or four of us. And this one guy was not, he did not like out-of-body experiences. He did not like what he thought, you know, when we pass, he was worried about that because he had a bad out-of-body experience. And I don't know if I've ever, I don't think I've ever talked to somebody who's done that. I certainly had an out-of-body experience that shook me a little bit when I was 8 years old. I have told this story before, but I had this dreamlike, I was in this dreamlike state, and I was floating in the clouds, and I thought, I heard these voices. It was cloudy all around me. I thought, oh, I must be in heaven. This is great. This must be what heaven's like. And I heard voices, and they were kind of in the distance. And I thought, well, maybe those are angels. And when I thought that, it's like they heard me through my thoughts. And then they turned their attention on me. And when that happened, I realized they were not very friendly. Now, they weren't evil, if there is such a thing. But they certainly were, like I was a new toy for them, and they wanted to play with me. And again, if you're going to travel through these places, from what I've read, you better make sure you know who you are and protect yourself and believe strong in who you are. Because there are others out there that are just, they're stuck, and they're looking for something to latch onto. That's really what that this is all about. So I remember falling, diving back to my body, trying to get away from them. Because I knew how to wake up. You know, normally I just, when I was in a bad dream, I just pop out of it. I still do to this day. I force myself. I'm aware enough to where I can pop out of it. This wasn't happening. I had to try very hard to get back to my body. And I could feel myself rushing downward. And I could feel their arms, even though I couldn't see them, grabbing me and pulling at me. And I was pulling away and they're yanking at me a little bit. And they're laughing at me. And I was really upset. And I didn't know who they were. And then just before I get back in my body, one of them grabbed me on the right butt cheek and pinched. And it hurt really bad. And when I woke up, it was really sore for a few minutes. And I remember telling a kid at school, and he kind of laughed. So you must have pinched yourself. And I thought, okay, maybe that happened. But now I know differently. And I, you know, it took me years to realize what goes on in these different realms. And when you travel there, sometimes things happen. So this individual that I met in the 90s, he had an out-of-body experience. He told me one where he went up through the ceiling of his upstairs apartment, the guy above him, and he just floated right up. And he looked, and he saw a bag underneath the guy's couch. And then he went back in his body. And so after he woke up, he went up and talked to the guy. And he said, do you mind if I look under your couch? And he saw this bag. So he knew that he had traveled. Well, he told me about a story about where he also had traveled to a very dark place, a place where there was torment. And he was not happy to be there, and it scared him. And he didn't like, obviously didn't like the experience, and he didn't want to do that anymore. He didn't want to go down that road as far as having out of body, or even it made him worry about death. And I really should have asked, you know, this is the early 90s. I didn't know nearly as much as I know now. Didn't do the research, didn't talk to as many people. But I still believed back then that whatever we believe is what we're going to see. And I tried to tell him that, but he was terrified of this experience. And I'm not terrified. And I think this goes back to this whole thing with near death and out of body is all affected by what we choose to believe. And maybe that's why it's good not to have, I have faith. I think that's important to have faith in something. Because if you don't have faith in something, then you're lost in many ways. And that's up to you, whatever you want to do. But, you know, I see people that have rejected religion and have kind of a sour attitude. I have rejected a lot of what religion has to say, not all of it, but I still have this faith, and I still believe that there's this being of love, and I believe we're connected to it, and that's the road I wish to go, and that seems to have served me well. But what I find is that those that don't have any connection, it seems like their lives are turmoil. They have a lot of turmoil because they just don't believe in anything. And whatever we believe in is what creates our reality. So we do need to have, I believe, faith in something, whether it's ourselves as divine beings, or if you want to call it God, as a divine loving being. And if you have faith in your religion, and you're, whether you're Christian or whatever belief you are, and it makes you a person that loves others as unconditionally as possible, then I think that's awesome. I think there's truth in all of them. And it's not so much the teaching, it's the individual and how they perceive that. I was just having this conversation with someone. Perhaps it's just more of how the individual. Some people are just gentle, loving beings. And even if some of the things that their religion teaches them are controlling and limited, which I believe is, and that's just my honest opinion, that's fine. Maybe they found a way to move past it. Most people I talk to, when I talk to them about their beliefs, don't completely buy into everything they're told. I can't tell you how many times people have said they've gone to church, but they don't believe everything the church says. But they do like being there. They do like singing. They do like connecting with spirit, which I think is awesome. Those are all great things. And maybe people that are also have good hearts, and maybe it does lift their hearts at that point. Those are all wonderful things. And if those are the things you embrace, then that's, to me, that's great. And if you're treating others the way you want to be treated, doing unto others, then I think you're on the right path. And what I think doesn't really matter anyway. But that's just the way I feel about it. Some of you might be offended by what I'm saying. That's certainly not my intention. I'm speaking honestly. Which I don't normally do too often because, you know, I'm always thinking, well, I really don't want to rile anybody up. I'm not here to do that. I've got on these websites. I was on a website the other day that I went to see, and this is not a movie I would normally see, but I was with a group of people and they wanted to see this, The American Sniper, which is a very violent movie. And some, you know, some people feel that this man is portrayed as a hero. And some people take objection to that. When I watch those kind of movies, it just doesn't sit with my soul very well. And I'm very connected to my soul. So it's just like, I don't like to see that. But I do come away with an appreciation for what people go through on both sides, whether, you know, the soldier, the people that lived. I got more of a sense for what is going on and how tragic all of it really is. But I saw somebody posting some things about the movie afterwards, and I couldn't believe the hatred. I see this a lot. There are people that, if you don't agree with their point, they will attack and they will promote hatred. And they will try to bully you and call you every name. And it was going back and forth. And it was different perspectives, what I would call a perspective from the left versus a perspective from the right. And I don't think extremism on either one of those, to me, is not the way to be. If you just see one side, how do you ever move forward? Can you not see both sides? And that's the way I look at it, with just about everything. And I have to thank my mom for that, because she was that way. She would always try to see both sides, and she'd always let us know. And it was a good way to learn, because you can see points in both sides. But if somebody is, we have this mentality now, a lot of people do, that it's okay to attack and threaten and say horrible things to another person for the sake of trying to argue your point. And at that point, it's like, I want nothing to do with that. It's just, it's unfortunate. I guess a lot of that goes on. I just pretty much need to ignore that, because it's like, come on, really? You got to do this? You feel like saying that. It's like, no, I'm not going to get involved in this drama. But why do you have to be so disrespectful? Well, I know why. I know the ultimate answer for that, really. I don't even have to ask that question. The third thing I wanted to talk about is what I've heard before, and I have no idea if this is correct or not, and who knows, right? Because it's really just a matter of what you believe in. That there, but at least it explains some things, like the out-of-body experience that I had, and maybe what happens in near-death experience, to cover this subject. I've heard it said before that there are seven levels that we exist on. And our physical body, that's level number one. Now, some people have said, I've heard people say that this is hell. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think it is. But, well, it's hell on earth. Well, it can be if that's what you make it. But earth is really not designed for that, I don't think. We came here to experience life in a physical body. Why would we call this place hell? There is no hell. It's a state of mind. Well, there's a lot of bad things that go on. Yeah, there are, if you just focus on that, right? And it's changing. We are seeing a shift in consciousness and a change. And the earth is changing and we are changing. And it doesn't matter. I really believe it doesn't matter if we choose to change. It will change. Now, why is this happening? Because we want it to. God is finally fed up and he's going to do... No, God allows, in my opinion, allows all things. If you love something, you allow it to happen. You allow it to be. You wouldn't do that to your kids, would you? So we have this great experience ahead of us. And this experience can go any way we want. But when we finally get tired of what's really not what we are and allowing others to manipulate and control, which is fine. I mean, they serve a purpose. That's their purpose. But we say Earth is not going to tolerate that anymore. This is what the Earth is going to become, a place of love, which is what we are in our true state. Then those that don't like it can go somewhere else. And I'm sure there always will be those that will want to experience that for a while. So we're seeing that shift, that change. But the first level here that I get back to is up to seven levels. The bottom rung is the physical existence. There was a man by the name of James Monroe, and he talked about a couple of other levels that exist in between. One of those levels, which is one of the next levels up, I believe, or the level after that, whatever you think happens immediately. Imagine if that was here. And he said the beings that are in this place, either the second or third level, I don't remember what it was, they are lost and they are kind of stuck. And anytime somebody new passes through, they want to grab onto them because they want to get out of there. Or they're drawn to them like flies. So that's what happened to me, I think, when I was 8 years old, is that I stepped into that realm. And these beings were just, they hadn't noticed me until I started thinking. Then they heard my thoughts. And then they attached to me. And they were trying to grab at me. Now, ultimately, can they hurt you? No, no, no. They could suck you into their way of thinking. Maybe you could get stuck there for a while. I don't know. I don't worry about that. It doesn't scare me. And I never really had an experience like that again after that. But as a little kid, you know, you're told about Jesus and the Bible. And how do you explain this? Well, now, you know, years later, you know, Robert Monroe, who lived in the 50s and 60s, really did a lot of research. And they had a Robert Monroe Institute out west. And they did, you know, they were able to prove that people could leave, at least according to them, that you could leave your body. You could actually, people could see you astrally projecting and showing up in places. He actually pinched people to prove that he was there. So, and it's funny because I just talked to a friend of mine who said his mom did the same thing. Isn't it? I like how you can sometimes connect this. I was talking to a friend of mine the other night, and he said his mom, maybe he'll talk about that with me in a future show, but he said his mom actually showed up in people's homes and they saw her, and she was astrally projecting. And that's the same thing Robert Monroe said. So we have the next level or two. I know both levels, they're not, you know, they're still not levels of higher consciousness. They're kind of murky. And I don't remember. It's been a while since I read those teachings. But it makes sense to me. The fourth level of consciousness, more than one is referred to this, and I don't know. This is just what I kind of believe right now or am open to, is where we go to what we think is heaven. And it's where we go and we might see Jesus or we might see God or we might see an angel or see a loved one or whatever it is we believe. And then eventually that fades. And eventually we start meeting our guides and maybe the loved ones. And we might have some unfinished business that we want to play out. I don't know what that is. But, you know, we're always continuing to create and do things. So whoever's there is going to do things with us. And maybe we're just going to enjoy life for a while, you know, take it easy. And life where you have no concerns and there's no pain and no worry about money or food. Yeah, I think that, you know, people are very happy in that place. And maybe some people are working through some things. Maybe not everybody's happy there. But then eventually you sit down before anywhere from one to three, from what I've heard, one to three different beings that are guides. And they will help you review what you did in the previous time and see if you want to go back and alter or change or learn more. Maybe you had some karmic debt that you had to pay back. Maybe you've been trying for lifetimes to get past a certain understanding of something. You still haven't done that. So that whole thing, belief in itself, is a limited belief as far as I'm concerned. But it exists. I really believe in reincarnation and all that exists. So you're stuck at that level, and you want to move on. And that in itself, as many have said, many enlightened beings have said, is a cycle in itself. As you get on that treadmill. And, you know, I guess the Buddhists believe that, you know, you come back to the reincarnation cycle, or you try to achieve nirvana, which is the next step. But they don't, do they really say what's beyond that? I guess, you know, reading Ramtha and others that have kind of defined it a little more in detail for me, for my liking. And after, you know, you come to the realization that even reincarnation is it's not real. I mean, it's what we do. We think we have to keep coming back to get better, to learn more. It's like, why? Well, then we can return to God and he'll be happy. And again, that makes no sense to me. I'm more of the belief that we are here because we choose to be here, because we want to experience life in a physical body. That makes a lot of sense to me. If we're these beings that are creating, and we were given all this freedom to go and create, and our Creator lives through his creations, literally we are little aspects of that, then it makes sense to me that we're going to constantly be doing things, and, you know, and we're like, sometimes we're trying to upstage the other one. Oh, look what I did. Look what I created. So a lot of that goes on, I think. And then eventually we move past, if we choose, the next level up is a much more advanced level, a fifth level, where, you know, the journey becomes a little more clearer. And then, from what I understand, as I recall, and it's been a while since I've read this, the sixth level is very close to totally connecting with Source. And beings that get together, like Abraham, which is that entity that is channeled, that for the movie The Secret, Abraham would reside, or Michael, the book that was called Messages from Michael. It was explained in a couple of different teachings that these souls come together, and it's usually about 1,000 of them, and they go on a journey together to experience things together, and they don't even have a name because they've let go of all that stuff. And a lot of times someone in the group will say, well, this is what they used to call me. Okay, we'll call you Michael. And in the book Messages from Michael, they talk about, you know, why we're here and all these things that happened to us, which made a lot of sense. But how do they know, you know, what level are they on? And that makes sense to me that perhaps there is a sixth level. And then when you get beyond that, then that's knowing who you completely are, the seventh level, and your connection to creation and the Creator. So that's my take on it. And if you have a take, again, I wouldn't mind talking. I'd love to talk to you. Or if you have an experience, especially an experience, and you maybe don't want to share your name, I have no problem with that. So I'd love to hear from you if you have something you want to say. And if not, that's cool. And if you have an opinion on something, I'd love to hear about that as well. Maybe I want to open up a can of worms here, but that's okay. It's not a one-sided conversation. Feel free to get back with me if you want. Otherwise, peace, love, and joy.